American rock star Patty Russo is my guest on the programme this evening. We heard from her in the first hour of Drive Time. Let's hear again from her now, because as well as her long work with Meatloaf, she was sharing stages and studios with Meatloaf for about 20 years. She's also done quite a bit of work in the theatre, including playing the part of Esmeralda in Notre Dame in London's West End. So how did all that come about?
Meat was off doing a movie, so none of us were, the band, we were pretty much, off doing our own things. And Meat's booking agent at the time, John Giddings, had phoned me up because he was with Tina Arena, was slated to play the role of Esmeralda, opening up on the West End. And but Tina was only going to be doing it for a short time. And John just phoned me up, and he's like, listen, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm representing Tina. He goes, but I think, she's going to be there for a short time, but I think you'd be absolutely brilliant in this role of Esmeralda. And I was like, John, thank you. but I've never acted before. I wouldn't even know where to begin. And he's like, well, there's no speaking. It's all singing. He goes, I think you'd be absolutely brilliant. Performing it, there's a show going on at the Paris in Vegas, and you should go see it. So I flew out to Vegas, and I saw the show. And I was like, I could totally do this. This is interesting. Come back to New York. And before I even had an audition, I booked my flight to come to England. And John was like, because we had a deal with the people in Montreal as well as Paris. So, you just don't go off and just book a ticket. But I did. And I was like, John, trust me. Get me the audition and I'll get the gig is mine. And I got it. So it was pretty incredible that I actually got the gig. And it was fascinating. It was great fun. A lot of discipline. I wasn't used to, that type of work where everything was regimented. And that particular show, we were performing to track. There wasn't an orchestra. So if you missed your mark, there were a couple of instances that I had to be at a certain place at a certain time. And I don't know what was going on in the theater that night, but it was a slippery, the floor was quite slippery. Dancers barefoot, you've got climbers, everything going on. And of course, I'm barefoot. And there was a scene where I had to run. I think the one who was taking care of me had been shot or something. He was about to die. And it was his line to sing, like, Esmeralda, I die. And I still couldn't get there. And I had to push through these gates. And I would love to see if anybody had a copy of that, because it was just like, like Bambi on ice, trying to get to crawl to him, because Esmeralda had to be there for him to say it. So, there's some interesting moments there. But
you've also played the role of Killer Queen, haven't you?
I did. How cool was that? I actually read for that. Brian had phoned me up. I was finishing Notre Dame, and they were getting ready to put the just in its infancy stages. Brian asked me if I would, come over and read for the part, and which I did. And then we did a presentation. Of course, we were all with, books in hand and kind of, there was no idea of what Killer Queen was going to look like at the time. But I figured she was a businesswoman and it just took liberty. So I came in with a business suit, hair all slicked back, and it was an interesting performance, interesting to be involved in something like that from the beginning. Of course, they had chosen their cast for London, and then I was back out on the road with Meat, and it was great to have Brian phone me up again when they were talking about doing it in Vegas. So I was actually able to do Killer Queen. Yeah.
Let's fast forward to 2014, because you're about to embark on a UK tour, which includes a date at the O2 in Islington in London. Do you think this is the time for Patty Russo to step out and go under the spotlight, do her own thing now properly?
This is the time. And because everything is lined up. I mean, I as I said, you can't write this. You know, I've tried a couple of times. There was a time that I was I'd gone out and started doing some writing, and it's just nothing was quite happening. I was doing some gigs. I hooked up with a band. I was going off to do these Umbria jazz festivals in Italy, and, you know, really honing in on my songwriting and all of that. But nothing was – it wasn't working right. So for this moment in time for myself right now, couldn't be more perfect. I mean, I'm hitting a milestone in terms of age, turning 50 in May. And this is something that I wanted since I was a child. So now is the time to do it. If I don't do it now, I don't want to be that person 3 years from now that's going to sit there and go, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I'm just going for it, Stephen. That's it. And I'm having a blast so far. I mean, I'm talking to you on the phone. 3 months ago, this was, you know, just a concept. And here I am. So I think, yeah, perfect timing.
Well, we wish you well with the project, Patty.
I'm sure it'll be
a rip-roaring success. You've done so much work with other people down the years.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, a lot of theatrical work as well. You'll be creating pure theatre yourself now, I hear.
I am, as we speak. This is writing itself, my dear.
Have a great birthday as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, the How Are You 5-0, I'm calling it, instead of Hawaii 5-0. So it's a fitting name.
You're catching me up, Patty.
Okay, my dear.
And we've got a song of yours to play now from your forthcoming EP, and one that I understand was covered by a jazz singer not so long ago, Betty Harris.
Yeah. It was funny because it was, you know, it's because I think Betty, I couldn't believe that she actually recorded it because I believe her father was a preacher. And this was a track, actually, I'd gone off to, took a bit of a sabbatical from Meatloaf in 2006. And actually phoned up Brian. I wanted to go to Nashville to do some writing. And Brian introduced me to someone, made a connection via email to this gentleman named John Tiven, who I met once I got to Nashville. And went to his home, went to his studio. And this was the first time that I was actually, because normally when I was writing, I couldn't write to other people's tracks. I had to come up with a concept. It just didn't, I wasn't there yet in terms of hearing other people's music and trying to come up with an idea. But in any event, I jumped in went through his catalog of music. And I just started hearing, you know, going through some random tracks and seeing what I could write a melody and some lyrics to. And one of those was that particular song. And I actually, true story, as the name, it gives it all away. It was written with a Bible and a beer on the table. It was a Corona at the time. I wish it was a proper pint, but I was in Nashville. And the song came out, and Betty Harris, preacher, the daughter of a preacher, actually recorded that song.
So. Well, let's hear your own version now. Patty Russo,
yeah.
Great having you on the program.
Oh,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Stephen. All the best. Cheers.